The experience of the Vietnam War was explained in part to a resistant America by a TV show called MASH about a field hospital in the Korean War, starring a doctor named Hawkeye, played by actor Alan Alda.
I just wanted to be quiet. She smothered her own baby.
Why did you make me remember that?
You had to get it out in the open. Now we're halfway home.
That story of a combat flashback shows Alda's incredible range as an actor. It's a gripping, emotional scene from a performer who's possibly gotten more laughs on television than anyone in history. Here's another example of Alda's range.
In this program, we'll find out how utterly deluded we are as we join in experiments revealing just how sneaky and underhanded our brains can be. And we find out why we sometimes make decisions that make no sense at all.
That's the 7-time Emmy-winning actor from MASH, performer in Glengarry Glen Ross, The West Wing, The Aviator, hosting the PBS series Scientific American Frontiers. Alda's legacy as someone who has helped explain science to a resistant America was honored this week with a Lifetime Achievement Award at an event sponsored by Scientific American and Macmillan Science and Education. Alda told us he graciously accepts the Lifetime Achievement business as long as we all agree there's probably more to come on his resume.
It's funny, to get a Lifetime Achievement Award in acting does make me feel a little leery of the Lifetime thing. But to get any kind of an award for science communication, it just thrills me. So I don't care what they say about Lifetime or not.
You've done so many different kinds of things in the biology realm, physics realm. What's the most difficult piece of science you've tried to explain?
At all the dinner parties I've been to, when they discovered the Higgs particle, everybody would be asking me what the Higgs particle was. And I say, well, you know, there are these particles. Then sometimes they'd say, wait a minute, what's a particle? It's very, very hard for people on the outside of science to get even the basic terms right. And that's why I helped start this Center for Communicating Science at Stony Brook University, because I want scientists to talk in plain language with clarity and vividness about their work, so that we all have, in a way, a leg up on these very difficult subjects that really rule our lives now. And it's not good for us not to be able to talk about what rules our life.
What I find often is that when scientists get the idea that they can entertain an audience, they can really wow an audience with what mm-hmm. they're saying, it reinvigorates their whole passion about their subject, and they stop speaking in impenetrable sort of jargon, and they really become performers. Have you experienced that at Stony Brook?
I have. Yeah, I have. And I don't know if I call it performing so much, although there probably is an element of that in it. But what I would focus on is the pleasure that you get from connecting to another person. And if you connect to a room full of 500 people or 1,000 people, there's even more pleasure in it. But the connection between the scientist and the crowd is such a palpably exciting experience that I think it does energize them and make them want to communicate more and better. And the reason it does, I think, is that we forget sometimes that we're herd animals, that we exist in communities better. The worst punishment you can visit on somebody is solitary confinement, outside of some kinds of physical torture. But that's a mental torture, because we need other people. And the pleasure you get from connecting with them is a driving force, I think, in better communication.
How frustrating has it been for you when good communicators can actually shut down scientific truth? And I'm thinking of areas like climate change and areas like the theory of evolution and make political points that sometimes overmatch scientists who do have a Nobel Prize-winning grasp of their material.
Yeah, well, it's saddening, and it makes me work harder to help scientists infuse what they say with not only their knowledge, but their passion and their ability to connect with the minds of the people they're talking to and not just spray information at them. Because science is, as Kahneman said, I think, science is best done with that part of the brain that is analytic and takes its time and is not emotional, but science is best explained with that part of the brain that's emotional and connective and collaborative and intuitive. that's the part we light up with an unfamiliar subject. At least that's the theory I'm working on.
So many people have experienced your career as an actor and have gotten so much joy from that. You clearly have gotten an extraordinary amount of joy being able to look over the shoulder of scientists as they work in the many scientific communication ventures that you've been involved with, Scientific American, PBS, all of them. If you could choose any scientist down through history that you could sort of teleport yourself back to look over their shoulder while they were working and then have the ability to explain that experience to one of your good friends, who would it be? What kind of a scientist would it be, do you think?
I think it would have to be Marie Curie, because I've spent a lot of the last 6 years writing a play about her, and I think I know her to some extent. To be able to have a cup of tea with her and just talk about her life and her work, and to have her explain to me what she was doing would be thrilling to me, because she's my hero. Everything stood in her way, and she didn't let anything permanently stand in her way. She just overcame every obstacle.
First female Nobel Prize winner.
Yeah, and not many people know that they didn't want to give her the prize. They wanted to give it to her husband, Pierre, because they didn't believe that a woman really did most of that work. And then when he pleaded with them and they decided to give it to both of them, plus Henri Becquerel, they said, yeah, but he'll get up and accept it and she'll sit in the audience and watch. And that's how they did it.
Well, the scientific story of Marie Curie is unbelievable. One of the many stories that you've had the privilege of telling and that we've had the privilege of hearing. Alan Alda, thanks so much.
Great to talk with you, John. Thank you.
Alan Alda is a 7-time Emmy Award-winning actor and writer, as well as visiting professor and advisory board member with the Alan Alda Center for Communicating Science at Stony Brook University. We've been asking you, which scientist would you want to have a cup of tea with?
If there was any scientist that I could look over the shoulder of, it would have to be Charles Darwin. He was instrumental in formulating the theory of evolution by natural selection, which is the best answer we have for the diversity of life on Earth, and has helped put into context many mysteries in medical science since its formulation more than 150 years ago.
Alexandra Graham Bell would be my favorite. I can only imagine how exciting it must have been for him to hear his voice electronically transmitted over a set of wires for the first time. I wonder if he knew what that invention would do to our world today.
Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE with your favorite scientists down through history.